All right. Well, I'm John Oakes. I don't normally introduce myself. Is there a microphone on? I guess I'm hearing myself. Good. Got some echo. So, I'm not used to introducing myself because normally 80% of people kind of know who I am already. So I'm John Oakes. I'm a minister, a professor of chemistry and physics for 34 years, retired, and now doing ministry here. So really glad you're here. All right. So a little welcome to David Miguel. All right. He's not here this morning. Come on, David. Baptized into Christ. The title for our sermon this morning is We Are Family. All right. So there's the family. Welcome David and Miguel in. It was really great. And here's the family playing. I wish I had that better picture. Somebody had a great group picture of us playing pool. We had like 30 people playing pool out there in Q-Spot. Q-Spot was like, where did these people come from? So, amen. New customers. They like that. Okay, great. So, generally, like 98% of the sermons we have here are exegetical sermons. So we just take a book of the Bible. We just finished the book of Ruth.
Yes.
Before that, we did with Judges. Before that, we did 2 Peter. Before that, we did Joshua. Before that, we did 1 Peter. Before that, we did, that's what we do. So you're coming in the middle, if you're a first-time guest, in the middle of a series of sermons from the book of Thessalonians. So last week, I did that background stuff you do when you do a new book. So we learned a little bit about Thessalonica. Today, it's Thessaloniki, the second largest city in Greece, up here in what would be Macedonia, the northern part of Greece. All right. And it was the second church planted, actually the third, but basically the second important church planted when Paul came to Europe, beginning in Philippi. He was in Philippi and he got beaten with Silas and thrown in prison and all that kind of stuff. And there's the miraculous release. Came to Thessalonica. So last week we actually started in Acts 17 verses 1 through 10, where we learned a few things. That church was founded by Paul. The year was AD 50 during his second missionary journey. According to Acts 17, he was there for three Sabbaths. Now, possibly he just went to the temple, the synagogue three times and stayed a little bit longer. We don't know exactly, but my estimate is Paul spent about a month or so in Thessalonica, 2 months at the most. That's very significant because today we're going to look at the relationship Paul had with the Thessalonians. And bearing in mind, he only was there for about a month, and the things he's going to say about them, it's really striking. Anyway, he was there in Thessalonica, and a number of people got converted, including Jews and also God-fearing Greeks. These were sort of semi-Jewish Greeks that were associated with the synagogue. And the other Jews got really jealous, and they started a riot, and they wanted to arrest Paul. And luckily, Paul wasn't available, because otherwise they probably would have beaten him up, or who knows, he might even have been killed. Instead, they found Jason, who was an important aristocratic guy. They dragged him off and basically they let him go. Why were they jealous? Because, as they said, you guys have been causing trouble all over the world. A little hyperbole. But the question is, are we causing trouble? Because, well, what do you mean? No, we should be causing. Thank you for your input, young man. I appreciate that. That's good. That's good. But Jesus caused a little bit of trouble, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he caused a little bit of trouble. So that gets us to 1 Thessalonians. That's our background. Actually, 1 Thessalonians was written. Paul says that when he was in Athens, he sent Timothy to check up on the church. So whether he's still in Athens or has moved on to Corinth, we don't know. But this book was written somewhere either at the end of 51 AD or early in the year 52 AD. In other words, the church in Thessalonica had been around for less than 2 years. So imagine a church that's only been around for a couple of years and mainly young Christians. Guess what? That's us. All right, got it? So that is the book of 1 Thessalonians is kind of relevant to us, I would say. Of course, the whole Bible is, but this one especially. Got it? And most likely, there's some debate, maybe Galatians, but most likely, this is the first book written in the New Testament. And like I pointed out last week, it's kind of different from Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. Those books have a lot of really deep theology, and then followed by practical advice. Here, it's just Paul is just saying, you guys are awesome. The outline I showed you last week, you're awesome because of this, you're awesome because of that, you're awesome because of that, you're awesome because of that, I really love you, amen. That's kind of the nature of the book of 1 Thessalonians. So, the good thing about that is, you know, this is a book that's going to encourage you. So if you wanted to be encouraged, challenged too, okay, sure. But if you want to be encouraged, probably a good place to start is 1 Thessalonians. So the purpose of the book is to encourage and instruct the very young church. That brings us to the sermon last week, which was only 3 verses long. The shortest sermon I think I've done in terms of verses so far since we've been here. And our theme passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 1, I'm sorry, verses 2 and 3. So let's read that. 1 Thessalonians. If you don't know how to find the Thessalonians, there's the 5 T's, right? Go eat popcorn. And then the 5 T's. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then the 5 T's. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3. We always thank God. Who's we? We is Paul, Silas, and Timothy. But we is really Paul. All right? It's really Paul. We always thank God for all of you, continually mentioning in our prayers. We remember before our God your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So last week we were challenged. Has your faith produced work? Let's think about it. And work is just the beginning. Work is the first thing you do. Work is coming up on campus and tabling for an hour. Whereas Zane and I, we've been coming up on campus for, we figured, I think, something like 14 semesters in a row, all right? More, no, 19, I think. That's number 2. Labor prompted by love. Going to visit Tiani at her house one time, and then the next week, and the next week. This is a sister in our church who's suffering from cancer, by the way. And there's some people who have been not just showing work, but laboring to help Tiani. And then the third point is endurance inspired by hope. Endurance is making it to the end. It's finishing our Christian walk. Okay, but that brings us to our sermon. The title of our sermon is We Are Family. Now, the We Are Family part is, we're dividing the scripture into 3 parts, 1, 2, 3, and the We Are Family is the third part, all right? So you're going to think, what's this have to do with family? So forgive me. All right, the title of our sermon is We Are Family, but we're going to get to that part later on, just so you know. Okay, great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Let's read that together. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Okay, let's stop right there. How does He know that God has chosen them? Well, the context, Paul, you read later on, he said, I felt like orphaned when I couldn't be with you. And I had to do something, so he sent Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Alright, so Timothy has come back and given him a report. So everything that Paul's saying here is in light of what he heard Timothy said was happening in Thessalonica. Got it? So, how did he know that they'd been chosen? Why? Verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake? You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. He's referring back to that little riot thing that happened, right? And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia and Achaia. Ooh, what are those things? All right, Macedonia and Achaia. There they are. All Greece. Okay, all Greece. Okay? The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere, even in South America. All right. Forgive Paul a little bit of hyperbole, all right? Basically, everywhere in the churches that Paul been planted, people say, did you hear about the Thessalonians? Did you hear about they had Sunday morning worship at UC Merced and 40 people showed up? Wow. Did you hear about that? Oh, it's going to be ringing out. They're going to hear about that in Fresno and Sacramento, whatever. But probably not going to hear about it in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. You know, being real about it. Who knows? They might. Okay. So forgive Paul for a little hyperbole here. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. I see a couple of points in this passage here. Okay. How did he know? How did he know that the Thessalonians were chosen by God? Well, first of all, because of power. The gospel is not just a bunch of words, not a list of things that are true. Not, for example, the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that we are free in Christ, that we are chosen, adopted, all those things Paul told them. And, you know, if you've been around church, you've heard those things probably a few times. But with the Thessalonians, it came with power. Changed lives. With those who know you say, that's a powerful life. That's a powerful life. We had a baptism last, what was it, Wednesday? Yeah. And one of the guys came, he said, I'm not a Christian. He said that. He said, I'm not a Christian. But you know what? David Miguel, he's devoted to God. It's like, all right. So forgive me for labeling him here, but his non-Christian friend said, that's a powerful life. Are you living a powerful life? Now, you can judge that for yourself. You know, I'm not here to tell you if you are or you aren't. But that's how Paul did. Paul heard, man, there was some stuff happening in Thessalonica. People were hearing the gospel. Needs were being met. Poor people were being loved and all kinds of stuff was going on. Has your life been impacted by Christ? And what deep ways have you been changed into the likeness of Christ? Or what do you hope to see changed? The second thing he saw was the power of the Holy Spirit. So Timothy came back and said, you should have seen, Paul, the Holy Spirit was moving and people were responding and listening. Then he also reported deep convictions. All right. Not just, yeah, I agree with that. I think that's true. It's like, I am moving. All right. Jesus is Lord. Woo! All right. Our sins are forgiven. The Bible is the 100% bona fide, inspired, and authoritative word of God. Do you guys have some convictions about that stuff?
Yes.
I hope so. Well, you know, I don't know, we just get a bunch of hype here, but you know what I'm saying. Zane's got some conviction. You know, he spent time around Zane. Yes, sir. Michael, he's not feeling well today. Michael's a guy who has a lot of conviction. I like that. Amen. Okay. If you have conviction, nothing anybody says or posts online is going to be able to shake what you believe. All right? Now, all of us have moments of doubt. All right? In fact, you can't have faith without doubt. So having deep conviction does not mean no doubts ever whatsoever. You know, but there's certain few things. You know, people say, oh, the Bible this, the Bible that, blah, blah, blah. And they'll say stuff like, yeah, you know, when Paul went to, did he even write Ephesians and that kind of stuff? I kind of go, I don't know, but Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the one thing I know for sure. Deep conviction. There is no doubt about it. And if Jesus was raised from the dead, hello, I don't think it really matters too much. You know what I'm saying? deep convictions. Deep convictions about sin. All of us are going to sin. All of us are going to give in to temptation. But how deep is your conviction about the sins that you, in quotes, struggle with? Satan, you're wasting your time on me. You know what I'm saying? When Paul heard the Thessalonians were living powerful lives and deep convictions, Paul said, phew, all right, it worked. My time in Thessalonica was well spent. Paul was, he was pretty fired up. And then in verse 7, he noted this. He said, and so you became a model to all those believers. A little hyperbole all over the world, but you know what? I hope that our church, our club slash church, all right, I hope that we become known for the things that God is doing among us. Amen? And then verse 9. Let's reread verse 9. It says, for they themselves, in other words, not just the Thessalonians, the Philippians and the Bereans and the Corinthians and the whateverians, all these otherians, they all noted how they turned God from idols to serve the living and true God. For them, idolatry was a thing of the past. Again, yeah, they struggled here and there, but no more idolatry. In this church, we're turning away from idols. Yes?
Yes.
Okay? If you want to kind of play a few games with some idols, I don't know. Maybe this won't even be the church for you, possibly. I don't know. We need to turn away from the idols of money, fame, popularity, power, pleasure, social media, and all those things. We need to turn our back on those things. Alcohol, cigarettes, pornography. Hit the road, Jack!
Woo!
I'm not getting enough. Zane, thank you for, thank you for, I don't know. Come on! Get rid of those idols. Oh, I could have money, or I could have eternal life. Idol, money, you know? I could have success in my career or a life of pleasing God. By the way, you can actually have both. You can actually have both. The question is, what's your idol? What's more important to you? You know, getting set up for a career. By the way, if you're here at UC or at Merced College, I mean, Zanes, how many times have you heard me say school comes first? How many times have you heard me say that? A million times. So I'm not here to, no, best student possible. But it's not your idol. Maybe for some of us in this room it is our idol even now. Maybe so. But the church in Thessalonica, people said, those guys, boom! Got rid of those idols. Oh yeah. Pleasure? I got a choice. I could have momentary pleasure or eternal life with God. Momentary pleasure idol? Out of here. You know? Social media or forgiveness of sins? Now, I'm not saying that you ever go on social media, then you're not going to have your sins forgiven. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm talking about an idol. I'm guessing there's probably people in this room this morning for whom social media is a bigger thing than God. If I'm wrong, amen, praise the Lord for that. Okay? Amen, praise the Lord for that. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6. Let's get to our next passage. Again, we're dividing our scripture up. Yeah, there you go. I forgot to put my little cool, turn away from idols. I don't think it's safe. I don't know about that. I mean, can you really do that? It seems like you'd cause an accident if you did that. But, I don't know, I found that online and I put it in my thing here. Okay, great. Here you go. You know, brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, that our visit to you was not without results. But, by the way, the word but is in the Greek, but not in the NIV translation. But
We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. The appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor do we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from people, nor from you, nor from anyone else. Even as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority, but we did not. I added that. That's my little addition there. Yeah, Paul said, again, he was there for about a month. Jen and I, we've been here for 4 years. All right, that's 48 times as long as Paul had been in Thessalonica. Okay, I'm glad we got 40 people here this morning. You know what I'm saying? That's good. Hey, I like that. That's good. Amen. Good. Great. But Paul's message in Thessalonica had produced some results. And when he heard from Timothy, he was really encouraged. You know, our visit here has not been without results. I was guessing the other day, just myself personally, just me personally, I figure I probably shared my faith with at least 10,000 people. At least. All right, at least that many. And then add on top of all the others, you know, I mean, yeah, we've had some results, and that's a good thing. Right in my notes, I say, look at David. He's not here. David had to go home for the weekend, whatever. I was going to, right, all right, we got Aaron, second youngest brother, all right. Look at David, look at Aaron. There's some results. Amen? All right. But it was tough. Paul was treated lousy. Paul probably had evangelism PTSD by now. What do you think? I'm serious. You know? If you read 2 Corinthians, what, chapter 11, oh, he just goes on and on and on about the stuff that happened to him. It was not easy. But you know what? Paul had works produced by faith. He had labor prompted by love. And he had endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, you know, we kept it going. And he said, you know, I wasn't exactly there for selfish motives. If Paul had selfish motives, he wouldn't have gone to Thessalonica at all. I mean, hello. He got kicked out of, I mean, he was thrown in prison in Philippi. If I was Paul, I would have said, I think I'm going to go home right now. That's enough, you know. All right. You know, Paul said, no impure motives, you know, and, you know, I appreciate, for example, Oscar and Jesley coming here. All right, cause they're living, Culver City or wherever he's, they're living in, come on, flat out, LA, the beach like 10 minutes away, they do have traffic, but other than that, I mean, it's cool down there. It's like 20 degrees hotter up here. Why did you guys come here? Because of the money you're gonna get paid? Because of the career advancement? Why would anybody come here? I'm sorry, Merced is awesome, but let's be real here. Alright? Amen. I appreciate those guys coming here. We didn't come here for the great weather, that's for sure. For the amazing restaurants? Oh, well. At least we got in and out. You know, at least we got in and out. I mean, yeah. Alright. We came here for one reason and one reason only. For the gospel. Amen. Amen? Yeah. So Paul said, we're not trying to trick you or use you as a stepping stone to the next level. No, no, no. Now let's get to the main passage. These six verses are kind of the main theme, all right, for our lesson. In fact, I got a little song I want to do. Okay, let's see if we can pull this off. Okay. All right. Good enough of that. All right, so That is the title of our, okay. Oops. I gotta stop it first. Oh no. Okay, good. All right, back to our PowerPoint. Jed said you could do that. I said, okay, good. I'm glad I could do that. Okay. So here we go. Here's the outline for this passage. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12. Instead of trickery or profit or some sort of personal gain or whatever that we would have been here for, no. Instead, we are like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. We loved you so much. We are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. For you know that we dealt with you, each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now, to be honest with you, Paul is actually talking about himself here, right? But I would say, wouldn't this be a pretty good model for what the church should be like, what relationships in the church should be like? So although Paul's talking about himself, I want to talk about, I guess, us, okay? The church. So Paul said, in some situations, we're like children among you. In others, we're like a nursing mother. And in still others, we're like a father. Depending on the situation. Paul, who was, you know, this is sort of early in his ministry. He's probably around 40 years old or so, maybe a little bit older, maybe 45 or 50. He says, He's talking about we were like children. Not that they were throwing temper tantrums or behaving immaturely. So Paul could say to the Thessalonians, and they're receiving this letter. And imagine they're hearing this letter read and they're kind of going, yeah, that is, yeah, in some ways he was like that. And the good things, not the bad things about children, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm thinking of being vulnerable, being open, willing to trust people, affectionate, playful, treating other people with honor. Are you childlike in appropriate ways in your relationship with other people? Fun, open, somebody who's not constantly on guard. Who can you think of that is mature and yet childlike at the same time? That was Paul. I think of Aaron, mature, but a lot of fun. And kind of crazy too, you know? I think of that. And, you know, this is my second time picking a Jesse out from the crowd, but Jesse, she's got that childlike quality. That, you know, just, when she laughs, it's almost like a giggle, sort of, in a way. In a good way, though. You know, what you see is what you get. So, and one thing for sure is, when somebody has that childlike quality, you feel safe around them, for sure. So that was one thing Paul had. He was humble. He was an apostle. But he was willing to learn, to listen, to watch. Then he uses another metaphor, not just as a mother, as a nursing mother. And just think, all of us have seen, you know, mothers with little babies and the look in their eye when they see that little baby. And Paul said, I feel like that around the baby Christians there in Thessalonica. Yeah, being childlike is a rare quality for leaders, I would say, for mature leaders. But for male leaders, especially male leaders, honestly, being real, especially male leaders, to have an atmosphere of being like a nursing mother. Humble, open, vulnerable. That's the childlike attitude. But also nurturing. Is a nurturing mother biased? Oh, they're very biased. They're like a mama bear. Alright? Somebody goes after one of the disciples in this church, you're like, suddenly, mama bear, not mama nice guy, you know what I'm saying? This is a church where the boo-boos are taken care of. Where the sick people get visited. Where the people who don't have a car get rides. Yeah, concerned, aware, just having that sixth sense. Wow, this person's not doing too well right now. How's it going? What's happening? That's the way Paul was towards the Thessalonians. And no wonder his gospel produced results and power and conviction, because they felt cared for. They weren't just his job. They weren't just, you know, his thing that he's here for. I think of Jen. Jen doesn't even want me to share it. She tells me, don't tell people about that, blah, 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 up to 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 5 a.m, how many times up. I don't know, Jen, when you got up this morning, but she was making muffins. I went downstairs at 2 o'clock in the morning. Jan was still down there, right? She had fallen asleep, admittedly, but, and then this morning, I don't know what time it was, but it was before 6 a.m. Jan's up there making those muffins. Wow. Right? Who asked her? Did anybody ever ask her to make muffins? I don't think anybody ever did, but she's like a nursing mom. Making cakes. She's the best cake maker I know. Buying presents. Now you could tell, we had our bingo and loteria. You could tell it wasn't Jan who bought those presents, you know. Right?
Those were good.
Well, oh, they were okay. I mean, you know, a pair of pliers. Yeah, a pair of pliers. I mean, you know, it's all right. Yeah. And again, I think of Allison, but not just Allison and others taking care of Gianni. I think of her, I remember she made a bunch of care packages for the students. She was barely even baptized yet, like less than a month, I think. And she said, I'm going to make all these care packages for the students. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. She didn't even know probably 80% of the people got those care packages. Right? And Paul said in verse 8, not only did he treat them like a nursing mother, just catch that image. But he says, and we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And lives doesn't do it justice. The word is psyche, ourselves. I mean, Paul said, I gave you myself. All right, are you willing to give yourself for your fellow believers? If Paul gave his self, then what did he hold back? Nothing. And that's what a mother does for their child. You know, that's almost the definition. You know? When Paul left the Thessalonians, they knew him really well. They had that intimate relationship. They knew everything about him. They cried together. And to a significant extent, I think that describes what our church is like. We're in each other's lives. We just hang out together. We have fun together. We share struggles together. We encourage each other. Paul's probably 7 levels above us, but I think we're doing a pretty good job. We take care of the sick. We have birthday parties. We have Valentine's parties. We have chili kickoffs. You know, our group is the funnest group on campus. I'm sorry, but come on. Nothing bad with all those other amazing, great groups, but I'm sorry. I mean, at Merced College, we're like by far, the only, yeah. Amen. You know? Remember, how long was Paul in Thessalonica, right? A month.
And they're thinking, yeah, this is the kind of relationship they have with him. All right, verse 9 and 10. All right, and he said here, we surely remember our toil, our hardship. We worked night and day in order to preach the gospel. Hard work, cleaning floors, changing diapers, washing clothes, Zane preparing songs, Katie serving, Oscar putting in hours and hours on social media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, let's get to our last point, which is we're going to reread verse 10 through 12. So Paul, who in many ways was like a child, open, what you see is what you get. Let's just have fun, you know, come on. Then he's the nursing mother, nurturing, caring, watching out. But then verse 10 through 12, there's another aspect. All right, it says, for you are witnesses, so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we are among you who believe. For you know that we dealt with you not just as a child, not just as a nursing mother, but also as a father deals with his own children. Encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I want to challenge all of us this morning to have this challenge, this childlike, in some ways, this nurturing mother, in other ways, especially the guys who probably generally aren't very good at that, and then also to have this aspect, being like a father among them, right? Paul was all three, all right? Encouraging, comforting, urging, being straightforward. This is what I see, right? Having a plan, protecting against outsiders and even danger from within. Jan said, I didn't forward the slide. Thank you, Jan. All right. Urging me to keep up on my PowerPoint. Thank you very much. Encouraging, comforting, urging, setting boundaries, protecting from danger, setting goals, planning. We will defend each other from spiritual enemies. And we're not going to let sin go without being challenged. Right? So, who's going to step up? Who's going to be these three things? To summarize. Okay? Paul knew when he heard from Timothy. He heard the report. He's like, that's the best report ever. That was so awesome. Timothy said, this is what's been happening. And Paul said, I know that they were chosen. Why? Because of power. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And because of deep convictions. And then Paul said, you know how I've been among you. I've been like, it's been like family. The church in Thessalonica was like family. And I believe our church here is like family. We love being together. Why? Because sometimes we're just like children among one another. And sometimes, depending on the role, depending on the person, depending on the situation, sometimes we're like a nursing mother. All right, we got our Allisons, we got our Jans, we got those people. All right, but also at times we are like a father amongst one another. So that's our lesson for today, and hopefully you're encouraged by that. We're going to have another song before the Lord's Supper. Okay. Oh, thank you, Michael. Well, yeah, one of the Zoom people just said.
One of the Zoomers.
Yep. He is a boomer, by the way, also. He's a Zoomer and a boomer. Thank you. There you go.